Great to be together. Wow, I am pumped up by that worship service, and I am glad to be with you. It's great to have missionaries here join us, and I just want to say thanks on behalf of all of us missionaries for Monte Vista Chapel. We had a gathering Thursday morning here where we kind of just share updates and pray for one another. And there was a constant theme of gratitude for this church. Several mentioned it. We all felt it. This is a rare church anymore that has a missions conference, but also people that are involved in missions. And so, as Ken said, the general budget has a commitment of 20% to missions, and that is amazing! And so, I want us to give a hand to, well, before we do that, I want to ask, just for my own curiosity, stand up if you've ever been on a short-term mission trip of a weekend to 2 weeks or a year. Just stand up. Ever been on a short-term mission trip? Look at that! Man, that is fantastic. Stay standing. Stand up if you volunteer in a local ministry of any kind, a local ministry that crosses cultures or reaches out to those who are in need. Stand up along with these. That's fantastic. A lot of short-termers are also ministering locally, it looks like. All right? So I'm just so grateful for this church, and I want to express gratitude to Pastor Gary, Pastor Ken, and all the staff and all the board for their commitment to missions. Let's give the church a hand, shall we? Father, as we come to your word today, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be the one who is really the preacher, that we would hear what you have to say through your word to each and every heart. This is my dependence and my prayer, and this is our corporate invitation that you would minister to and through us. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to tell a little story from one of the short-term trips I took back to Kenya after Lynn and the family and I moved back in 2000, went back several times, and one of the groups I took out of the Northwest where I was living, we were meeting in, we had an outreach into the slum in Nairobi, Kenya, and there we observed a ministry to help women who had been affected by HIV. They were learning crafts that they could make using simple things like magazine pages that they would cut into slits or plastic bags from shopping that was just laying around the streets. And they would make hats and purses out of these things. So we visited this ministry, and it was very impacting to us. But my devotions during that week were from this passage that Amy read about inviting the poor. And we had this tradition, as many do, of taking pastors out for a final dinner at a restaurant called The Carnivore. It's a wonderful game. It serves different game meats. And it's a real highlight for the visiting Americans as well as for the local pastors. But something was bothering me because of this passage. So I finally went to the little team that was with me and I said, "Hey, guys, something's really bugging me. I can't let go of this. I feel like we're supposed to, instead of having the pastors at the carnivore, we're supposed to have these slum women to a dinner that we throw in their honor. You know, can you go with me on this?" "Yeah." I said, "You can?" So I went to the pastor who oversees that ministry and I explained this to him and he said, "That's a fantastic idea." He said, "How many should we invite?" Well, I just pulled a number out of the air. I said, "Well, how about 50? And so he said, "What kind of place?" I said, "I don't know, just a nice place with a nice garden and good food and plenty of it." He said, "I'll take care of it." So as the women began to arrive on the appointed day, I was just so thrilled to see them come, all dressed up in their Sunday best. They were just dressed to the hilt, and they brought a lot of colorful fabrics with them. These are called kangas, and they came, it almost looked like a parade as they came, and they laid down their kangas like this, and they put down some of the crafts that they had brought, like necklaces and bracelets and purses, and it was really fun to see. And so we just rejoiced together, and we had such a great time. It was a buffet, or buffet, if you prefer, and we did not buffet our bodies that night because we ate all kinds of meat and fish and salads and side dishes and desserts and tea. It was amazing. Where do these come from? Oh, just kidding. Thank you, ladies, for helping us kind of have a festive feel up here this morning. Taste of Africa. Why do I tell this story? Because God is right now inviting all people to a wonderful celebration, a wonderful feast to come and enjoy his presence, to share in his wealth. And we're going to see this as we come to Isaiah chapter 55, as we continue this series in the wonderful prophecy of Isaiah. God is inviting. I couldn't resist the temptation to look in some surrounding passages to see who's going to be in this celebration. So permit me a little bit of time to talk, first of all, about the suffering man. I'll just touch on this. In Isaiah 53, we have this wonderful description. Actually, it's a horrible description of a man who is suffering. Let me read Isaiah 53 from verse 1. "Who has believed our message?" says Isaiah. "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. In fact, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Why, Isaiah? Why? What does God show you in this vision? "Surely," verse 4, "he took up our infirmities." That's why. "He carried our sorrows." That's why. "Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him." The peace we just sang about. "And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." This suffering man is going to be at the festival. Not only at it, he's going to be the center of the celebration. Why? Because what we learn in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." There's one person who bridges between God, who is great and far, and man, who is among us here. It's us. It's Jesus, the Son of God. In Acts chapter 4, it says, "There is one salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the suffering man. And he suffered for our sins. He died on the cross to save us, to pay the penalty, to win pardon for us, so that we could have eternal life in the presence of God. Well, who's going to be invited? In chapters 54 and 56, we kind of get the reprise of this parable of Jesus, where the master asked the servant to go out and invite enough people to make his house full. God is still, he's not willing that any should perish. God is waiting so that more can come to salvation in him through his Son. I believe that we are in the final stage of mission. We could be the last generation before the Lord's coming, because there's a verse in Matthew 24:14 that says this gospel of the kingdom will go to every people and then the end will come. And so God is waiting for all the peoples of the earth to come to a knowledge of him. There are 16,000 people groups in our world today. 7,000 of those have yet to receive the gospel, to be reached. That is, there's not a church among them that can reproduce itself and spread to tell the rest of its people in their language and culture. There's a lot of work to be done. 7,000 people groups. Some of those are very small, just a few hundred people. The easy fruit has been picked. The unreached people groups are hard to reach. It's going to take people willing to go and live among them for 20, 30 years to learn their language, teach them to read the scriptures. That's the task before us. But because the Holy Spirit is doing amazing things in our day, he's raising up mission forces from Latin America, Asia, and Africa. He's creating movements where the gospel is spreading through clans and families rapidly. Often in Muslim areas where you're not able to announce your faith in following Jesus. We could be the last generation before the Lord comes back. Amen? Amen. We see this compassion in Isaiah 54 and 56. I don't have time to go into the scriptures, but in 54, he invites the barren woman who never bore a child. He invites the widow who feels reproach or loneliness. He invites the divorced or young wife who's been abandoned. In chapter 56, he invites the foreigner, saying, "No, let no foreigner ever feel uninvited." He invites the eunuch, a person in that society who was rendered incapable of procreation, either by violence from an enemy army or to qualify for service in a royal court. This person was in a different category because of his sexuality. And God says, "Come in, welcome, come and follow me." God is compassionate toward you and toward all. Maybe today you're feeling like a weak and weary person, that you're one that is on the outside looking in. God wants to reach out and for you to feel included today. And so let's go to what I've summarized as three invitations into this wonderful festival and celebration. The first is, come and be truly satisfied. Come and be truly satisfied. If I could have that water, I think I would. Could I have that water right there? Thanks. Okay, here we are. Let's go to chapter 55 and look at verses 1 to 3. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. This is a feast that's free. It's all of grace. Jesus echoes this 700 years later when he talks in John chapter 6, verses 27 and 32. I hope we have that here. Okay, John 6. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I once did a little devotional called The Bread of Life. Chew it or choke on it. And that's what's happening in our world. A lot of people are choking on the bread of life, but a lot of people are chewing it. They want it. You know, one of the things I learned through my first wife's illnesses was that one of the most underappreciated gifts is hunger. To feel hungry, to have an appetite. Any of you who've been through chemo or a loved one has, you know that you can't get anything in your mouth, much less swallow, because there's no appetite. And so I'm asking that we pray, God, give me an increased appetite for the bread of life. Some of you have known the Lord for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. How's your appetite? Is it still growing? You're still hungering for the Word of God and the presence of Jesus in your life. You know, it's possible for us to read God's Word. Some of you have read through the Bible every year for many years, and you've got knowledge up to beyond your scalp. So now invite the presence of Jesus to come in and transform and dig deeper into your heart and life and bring greater taste from the bread of life. Now, as we come in our celebration, we have a change of tone here, I think. From verses 6 to 9, the invitation is to come and feast on the mercy and the mystery of God. And the tone changes, I think, to a very personal one here, where we come into this big festival with all of these people and all this food and perhaps all this noise and music and dancing. And it's as if the host of the meal, God himself, says, hey, come over here and let's just talk, you and I, one-on-one. Okay? Listen to this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. Turn to me, he says, and I'll have mercy. Turn to God, for he will freely pardon. And then there's almost a little gap here, and it's as if you have a little objection to God, and you say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand why you allow things you allow in our world. I don't understand how you could be merciful to me. I don't deserve it. And so the revelation goes on, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, it would be a tragedy if you and I could sit across from God and sort of persuade him and talk about things. You know, I understand what you're saying, God, but, you know, I think you're a little off here. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? No, we want a God who's way, way, way bigger, way, way smarter. And so this gap between where our understanding leaves off and where God is in his teachings and his truths and his actions. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, faith is what fills that gap. Faith is what bridges that gap. We believe that God is, that he is true, even though our understanding only comes up this far. So the mystery of God is an opportunity to please God by believing him anyway. Now, this is a Mission Sunday, and the application of this that comes to me is, when you have planned out your life, as you think about your future, you have your thoughts, you have your ways. Are you open to asking God, what are your thoughts about my future? What way would you like me to consider for my future? I have my plan. God, what's your plan? And that leads us to our final invitation, to go out in the joy of God's abundant harvest. You get the pattern? Come in, feast, and go out. Let's read Isaiah 55 from verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I want to encourage you missionaries today. I know you have discouraging days. The Word of God is going out. It always accomplishes its purpose. On those days when you think you made a mistake, when you'd take the return airfare, if you had it, God's Word is raining down. He is accomplishing His work. Continues verse 12. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, instead of the briars, or tumbleweed as we have it here, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for the Lord's fame, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Jesus is coming back. It may be soon. We hope it is. But for now, the celebration can already begin. And for now, we have been given an assignment. Every one of us, we are on God's hospitality committee. We are the servant to go out into the highways and byways, to go the second mile, to go out and love in extravagant ways, unexpected ways, and beckon people into this feast and compel them to come in. Now, as you go out, you might say, hey, it's raining out there. And God says, yeah, I know. I'm raining down my word. The word of the kingdom is falling down all around the world, including Turlock, including wherever you go. The rain of God's word is raining. In that remote village in the darkest forest, a woman looks up at night and sees the wonderful stars and wonders. Lord, Creator, who are you? Are you there? And the Lord whispers to her, I see your faith. I see your longing. I know you. I love you. The man who goes repeatedly, religiously through his routines in his place of worship, but in the deepest secret of his heart, wonders if all of this does any good, if God really sees him. And then along comes a friend or a distant relative or a tract or a Sat7 television show that says, I'm here. I know you. I see you. I love you. Because it's raining outside, I want to challenge you to go out with joy and watch things spring into life before you because of the working of God. I want to challenge you. There is an adventure waiting for each and every one of us. I believe every one of us is called to greatness. That may be greatness that's visible and known, or it might be very private and secret that only you and God see. But I want to call you out to adventure. I want to call you out to see miracles happen before you. I want to call you out to endure trials for His sake, to say goodbye to many friends, to suffer loss. I want to call you into this adventure. Here in Turlock, one of the things I learned when we first moved here a bunch of years ago was hard pan. There's hard pan here. And my concern is that some of us are living with hard pan, and we've gotten so used to it, we don't realize anymore that we've gotten comfortable with this certain level. The other day, Amy and I rented a vehicle to drive up to Tacoma for her father. And there was a little sign on the dash of the Penske truck saying, there's a governor on this truck. You will not be able to go over 70 miles an hour. And I thought, that's some human hearts. That's some commitment to go out with joy, is that we've reached a governor level, and none of us are, and some of us are not willing to go a little farther, a little faster. My calling today, God has put this on my heart today, to challenge every one of us to remove that governor and say, I'll go farther than I've ever gone before. I'll give more than I've ever gone before. Because, friends, this is urgent. The mission of God is not a committee in the church. It's not a weekend conference, as wonderful as that is. The mission of God is the purpose of the church. As our motto says, Christ in us, Christ through us. This is an emergency. People are dying in droves every day and going to a Christless eternity. And our culture is bombarding us with the message of comfort and preserving. I talked to a mission rep last week in Fresno. He said, you know what one of the main obstacles is to young families going into missions? It's grandma and grandpa not wanting the grandkids to be so far away. I challenge you parents and grandparents to either go or let go. There's a website called finishers.org that is for people in second and third careers to finish well in missions. Look it up. Go or let go for the glory of God. This is urgent. I'm not angry. I'm just passionate. As I finish this message, I just ask the Lord, hey, what do you want from this message? What am I supposed to say to these people to wrap this up? And he said, challenge them to go to the far places. Go to the faraway places. Why are we leaving that to others, to go to the far places? If you intend and set your path to a far place, God has plenty of ways to keep you here. I don't have time to list the different ways God can keep you here. He may want you ministering to homeless in Stockton. He may want you reaching out to international students or showing the love of Christ to refugees right here. But if you shoot for that, God can say, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, not everybody's meant to go way away. He can keep you here. But if you don't shoot for it, you won't find yourself there. I know there's not a missionary among us who regret saying yes to God when they did. They've had hardship. They've had loss. But they wouldn't go back and say, no, I think I would do something different. I think I'd make a little more money. Uh-uh. It's worth it. It's worth it. So, do we have junior high students, senior high students here, international college career age? I want to challenge you guys and gals to dream great dreams for God. Plan great plans and leave them open. Surrender, great surrender. And see what God does with your life. Mom, grandma, and grandpa, did God speak to you when you were younger and plant the seed of mission in you? Is this time to water that seed, to wake it up, to get out of the way of the young, to encourage them to give? One of the things you can do is to attend this Mission Compass that we're hosting here at the church. It's for anybody in the city. This is a workshop I'll give on two Thursday nights, May 9 and 23. It just gives the big picture of missions today and different ways you can get involved, long term, short term, and what are some of the steps that it takes to get there. You don't get there in 3 weeks. It takes a process of months and years. So we're going to be talking about that. I'd also encourage you to stay for the festival coming up. Sometimes in missions we say you can either give, pray, go, or now we say welcome. I want to encourage you to do all of them. Pray and give and go. I'd like to see every one of us go to a short-term mission trip in the next 5 years to ring Gary's phone right off the hook and for all of us to be able to stand and say, yeah, I went. I saw. I was changed. I want to close by going back to this story of the Kenyan meal that we threw for these women. We were sitting in round tables. We didn't have a head table. And I think the worship team's going to come back and help us celebrate as we close. We didn't have a head table. We all spread out at the different round tables so we can talk to the gals. And the gals at my table, there were about seven of them. I said, "Hey, Bob, can we take food home?" I said, "Well, of course. It's all paid for." So out of their purses came the plastic bags that they were prepared for. And they went up all these, these big aluminum serving trays, and they filled. There was not a stitch of food left. They took it all home. And at the very end, one of the senior women stood up, and she said, "We just want to say thank you for coming so far and for thinking of us. We have never had a meal like this. We've never been in a hotel like this, with beautiful grounds like this. And so thank you, thank you, thank you so much for coming to bring us this good news." I'll tell you, my friends, there's no joy like bringing good news to a far place. Join the adventure. Prayerfully seek, even at this festival, seek someone you can partner with. Seek someone you can contribute to. Seek someone you can partner with and maybe visit in coming years. We've arranged to end with a celebration. This is a celebration. We need a choir, and so our worship team is going to return us to that song of joy. I'd like to ask you to stand. Let's not hold back on this, okay? This is the suffering man, the risen king that we're singing to. So let's do that with everything we got.